So this is the first in probably what will end up being a random series of focusing on just one game that really had an impact. And it came around because I'd read that it was the 10th anniversary recently of the game that we're going to talk about. So I'm joined by Anthony Murray, and we're going to talk about took place on the 2nd of March 2011. It was season 2010-2011. It was first full season in charge for Lennon. Celtic ended up finishing second of the season. And this particular game followed on from a 2-2 cup draw at Ibrox, where the Bruni was invented in that particular game. So it is what is now known as the shame game, the shame of which passed me by at the time. So how you doing, Anthony?
Good. An interesting day, or an interesting hour, you know, researching this game and putting myself in a context as to where I was in life and what the world was like at the time. And the memories come flooding back.
So it was 2nd of March 2011, so it was the last season that Celtic didn't win a league title. So tell us about your life, where you were, what was the world doing at that time, what was the music that young people were listening to, since I was 40 at that time. So what were people listening to, what were you watching the pictures, and what were you doing at this time?
I'll start with myself. It's right in the middle of my 4-year living in Glasgow period. Something that modern fans might be blown away by is the idea that you could literally go on the Celtic website and buy a ticket for a Celtic Rangers game, which I did for the 3-0 game 2 weeks before, and for this one. So I got a ticket just logging on and buying one. There was very little demand for them, you know, relative to, I guess, the Rodgers era or what came next. I'm living in Glasgow, basically on the breadline, because I've been put out of work. I'm collecting 2 wages. One, working as a community coach for the Celtic, getting paid absolutely buttons to travel from Hamilton to Rooking Glen to Castlemilk and God knows where else. Don't know how I was cutting a profit at all. I don't think I was. I was probably losing money on this job, but I had a vision at the time. And the other thing that older listeners of the podcast will remember is that I used to come on and promote my comedy shows. Modern listeners would be like, you're not funny and have never been funny. I'm not going to dispute that for a second.
There's a few people taking issues this season in some of the comments you've made.
So, but cut back to 2011, I'm regularly writing for and performing with other now famous comedians. And one of them vouches for me and gets me a really big gig in Belfast. So the night before this shame game, my two jobs are combining to see me having to head to Glasgow Airport in a Celtic shell suit from my coaching job to fly to Belfast to, you know, change like Superman, you know, spinning around in his telephone booth into something that I could wear on stage to try and make the people of Belfast laugh. The gig went perfectly well. I enjoyed it. Stayed in the hotel. It was nice. Flew back the next morning in my Celtic shell suit and back to work. And then, you know, to get to a Glasgow derby all in one very hectic 48 hours. But it was, yeah, it was interesting times.
Who were you? Are you allowed to say who you were writing for at the time?
I could, but I'm not going to. I'll tell you off here.
I have an idea. So what else was going on in the world? What was the music? What was the films?
The music's interesting. Number one is Adele, Someone Like You, which I think a lot of people would be familiar with. Number two in the charts, the British charts, is Jessie J's Price Tag, which is something that went completely over my head. I thought, I don't know what that is. I'll need to give this a quick listen. But then I realised I was quite familiar with it. I've definitely said to children in my school, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, blah-bling, blah-bling.
Was that 10 years ago?
The lyrics of that song have infiltrated me enough that I have referenced it. Number three is Rihanna. And basically the top 40 are just Adele, Rihanna. And, you know, it's like, I guess it's at this point where it's no longer purchases. It's probably just streams or downloads or whatever. and the top 40 has become polluted by the same artists, which I imagine is not uncommon just now. So that's Adele, Jessie J, Rihanna. Films are funny. Well, not really funny. The week before, if you'd gone to the cinema, like I did all the time living in Glasgow with that brilliant Cineworld card, all-you-can-eat cinema, where I took them to the absolute...
Was it a tenner for a month?
You could go anytime you wanted. I think it was 14 by the time I had it. But if you went twice a month, you made it back, you know? Obviously, they get you on the popcorn. Just don't buy popcorn. There's the trick, okay? but I mentioned there was the Farrelly Brothers comedy Hall Pass, which is, it's not classic Farrelly Brothers, but it has some funny bits in it. It's got Jason Sudeikis and Owen Wilson. And I only remember going to see that because Glenn Louvins and Efren Juarez were the only other two people in the cinema that I was in watching that film one quiet evening. So there's two Celtic players, neither of whom play in this game, were going to see silly comedy movies. And the next, the day after the film, The Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon, which was one of these films that you left the cinema thinking, oh, that was all right. And then you never think about it again for 10 years until you're asked to do a podcast.
I probably have seen it, but I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
It's one of these sort of spy-ish.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm, things. Matt Damon, spy-type film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably saw it at the time. But no recollection. But you mentioned some interest. So one of the interesting things you mentioned about that is we had it was one of those occasions when you have a wee run of Celtic Rangers games. So we'd played them and drawn two each in the first round of the cup. The Bruni was invented, and we had Fraser Foster was sent off, and then to balance it up, they had somebody sent off towards the end. And then we'd beaten them 3-0 at Celtic Park in the league just a short time before that. And then went and straight after that went and lost to Motherwell 2-0. So we then went into this game having just lost to Motherwell 2-0, having beaten Rangers. So,
but still 5 points clear. So we beat them to go 8 points clear. I didn't realise that. Thinking back, I didn't realise that was a... I didn't realise how big a disaster this season was in terms of throwing away a title.
Yeah, because everybody talks about we threw it away to Inverness. Actually, the other thing I'd forgotten about going through it, we had something like two of our last eight games were at home. We played something like six away out of the last eight games. It must have been, I don't remember, there must have been some sort of fixture issue that resulted in us, I mean, obviously the way the split had gone must have had an impact on it, because we were, the last few games, we were away to St Johnstone, away to Kilmarnock, away to Rangers, home to Dundee United, away to Inverness, away to Kilmarnock, away to Hearts, away and at home to Motherwell on the last game.
And like I was saying earlier about easily getting tickets, I easily got tickets for the United and the Motherwell game, which should have been, season, title deciders. It would have been the only time since 98 I would have been in the stadium to see a title get won,
But the real thing that really sort of had an issue for us was the November run in the league, where we had... something like six games, November and into December, and we won, lost, won, drew. That was...
If you get yourself back 8 points clear, I don't think you blame that hole. Is that a golfer who gets themselves back in contention and then botches the 17th and 18th isn't thinking about that bogey they had in the 10th if they put themselves in contention again?
Yeah, so we drew with Rangers at Ibrox. Elhaj Diouf and Scott Brown, because that's relevant to this game. Elhaj Diouf and Scott Brown have been going around the pitch. By all accounts, Elhaj Diouf have been boasting to Brown about how much money he earned, and did Brown even know who, he didn't even know who Scott Brown was, and all this sort of stuff. And then Scott Brown scores an equaliser, curler into the corner, and immediately runs up to Elhaj Diouf in his face and does the Bruni, and that's where it's invented. So, a midweek game against Rangers, which are always top-notch games, and Over to you, Anthony. Celtic Rangers, Wednesday, 2nd of March, 2011. Scottish Cup replay, Celtic Park.
I'm sitting up at the back of the North Stand, which is where I always happily bought tickets. I like the sort of TV video game angle. You know, you can see the whole thing. Obviously, ideally as close to the halfway line as possible, but basically wherever I can get up there. And, yeah, it's obviously feisty. They are, I mean, this is peak Walter Smith filth, utter filth. They are kicking anything that moves. They are diving. That's what Naismith gets sent off for in the previous game. He should have got sent off for his first tackle, but he gets a yellow for that and then gets done for diving, gets a red card. But they are just, you know, hammer throwers. You know, real cliched, dirty Rangers players, which contributes to the story of the match, because in the first half, Whittaker gets a second yellow and gets sent off. And it's, you know, it's a horrible challenge, but one of those ones that he stands up doing the "I'm a Rangers player, what you doing?" And then as the ref sends him off, that Bugera runs in and forces the referee's hand down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like mind-boggling that you would do that. Imagine what would happen to a Celtic player who manhandled a ref. It's just beyond belief. And, you know, leans into my belief, you know, throughout Walter Smith's career, that he only had success when SFA referees had a skin in the game, because he was largely, although he got to a UEFA Cup final with the shittest run in history, he was a bad football manager that had no success outside the SFA. Anyway, I digress. So Whittaker gets sent off deservedly. Samaras has a good chance in the first half, but as is all often the case with Samaras, McGregor makes a very good save. But, you know, Whittaker gets sent off, and it's that thing where, you know, 99% of the time Celtic are against 10 men, we pump the team that we're playing against. And having thumped them 3-0 so recently, there was no doubt whatsoever that we were the better team. We had good players. You look at that midfield of Kyle and Key, you know, they were brilliant footballers. Particularly, I know Kyle, his career kind of, this was probably the peak of it, Kyle's Celtic career kind of dwindled, unfortunately, after this. But, oh God, if you could offer me a, you know, 25-year-old Kyle and Key right now to play for Celtic, you know, you'd bite someone's hand off for that. Early in the second half, we get a sort of comedic goal, where Izaguirre, you know, very much him at the peak of his powers, goes down the left, clips one over to the back post, bobbles over to Mark Wilson. He absolutely flushes one, a half volley, that lands on Papach's face on the line. Brave defending that knocks him into the next week. The ball takes a ricochet, bobbles back to Mark Wilson, he's still on his feet, who hits the scabbiest left-footed effort imaginable, but hilariously bounces and loops over McGregor. You know, you think of that arsehole and how many good saves he's made against us. It's quite a satisfying watch back to see this horrible goal loop over him. And Mark Wilson goes nuts. At that point, we're 1-0 up against 10 men. We bossed the game. We have other chances. Samaras hits the near post after getting sent through. And then ultimately they lose the heat. Bugera, you know, tries to chop Chris Commons in half, gets a second yellow, sent off, and at the end, Diouf's in full Diouf mode, you know, causing mayhem. He started a rammy with Lennon and all that on the sidelines at an earlier stage, but he basically gets a second yellow, I think, after the final whistle and gets another red. So yeah, Diouf gets two yellows, Whittaker gets two yellows, Bugera gets two yellows, and manhandles the ref. Hutton, not Alan Hutton, but I think it's a different Hutton, gets booked, and Stephen Davis gets booked. Scott Brown, Wilson, and Mistorovic get booked. Mistorovic looks hilariously slow. I was quite fond of Mistorovic, but you watch these highlights back, and like he was not a fast man. He looked like a 33-year-old you know, 7'5" Swede, you know. But ultimately, we've won the day, and then the fun starts.
So you're right. My recollections of it. Well, first of all, I should run through the Celtic team because, of course, Fraser Foster is suspended because he gets sent off at Ibrox. So Zaluska's in goals. Wilson and Izaguirre are the two fullbacks. Mulgrew and Mastorovic are the two centre halves. Midfield is Brown, Kiso-Yong, Birim Kayal, Samaras. In Commons with Samaras and Hooper up front in the bench. Dominic Shervey made the bench, who was at Celtic for years, then left and went to a couple of other clubs. I think in total he's made something like 15 professional football appearances and is now retired and never made a career in football.
Yeah, he leaves Celtic and ceases to be a footballer. He's not the only one.
Yeah, Juarez, your mate Juarez, he's on the bench. Thomas Rogner, Stokes and James Forrest are on the bench. I'm just looking through the stats. The possession was 61-39. Shots, attempts on target, 4-1. Attempts off target, 11-0. But my recollection of most of that game was there was no shame game in the typical, you know, the narrative that we're going to talk about in a minute about the Old Firm doing this. It was very much, as Celtic have tweeted this week, we are half of nothing. Because it was very much, Rangers lost the plot in this game. Rangers of players run around like Elhaj Diouf ran around that game trying to get himself booked or sent off. Bugera, as you pointed out, manhandles the referee for Whittaker, and then when he himself goes to get sent off, there's more pushing of the referee and manhandling of the referee. Four or five Rangers players around the referee with the "we are the people" attitude of how dare you in a Glasgow derby try and send off a Rangers player. It is. And so my recollection of that game was going home, that we were comfortably the winners even though it was one goal. And at the end of the game, also, Elhaj Diouf again had been marching round the ground in a bad mood, trying to start a fight with anybody that moved. You know, would look to start a fight with a blade of grass. Goes over to the Rangers fans. The police are trying to drag him away because he's trying to throw his jersey in the Rangers fans. The whole McCoy-Lennon thing, I'm in the game, completely passes me by. I'm completely oblivious to any issue at all. I think, was there an issue at half-time as well as full-time?
Going well, earlier on, yeah, there was. There's one in the first half where, again, Diouf goes in, and the allegations in the interviews afterwards are that he hits or pushes Celtic's physio. Lennon reacts to that, allegedly. Diouf and Lennon are going at it. McCoy objects to Lennon objecting to Diouf, and then, you know, it all kicks off. And Yalby is looking for trouble as well at half-time, which is, I think, at which point Koisty scampers away like the little rat he is. You don't want Big Dolph on the case. So, that was the original incident. But, yeah, the famous incident is when they come together. And, like I say, that utter snake, McCoist, you see the look in his face. One, you know, the snide little remark that he's clearly got planned, that he knows Lennon's going to bite. You know, because that's still pretty young Lennon who would bite, you know, fair play. No, we've no idea what he said. I don't know what he said. But McCoist clearly measured it. Lennon took the bait. But the hilarious thing is that McCoist then realises he's scared of Neil Lennon. And shits himself and retreats with this little, "oh, whoops, I didn't mean to do that. This guy, Phil Lurgan, actually seems pretty hard right now." And, it's pretty hilarious. And Lennon gets dragged away and, you know, the architect in chief, Walter Smith, tries to be the old diplomat pulling Koisty away when really, you know, he's completely in on it. And that's part of his character as well, which we saw years later with Miksu Patalainen and other coaches that, you know, when the mask slips. But that's the incident. And, you know, Celtic get pulled away and then, you know, we... What I can't remember, the Black Eyed Peas song, "I got a feeling, you know, tonight's going to be a good night," is what gets played. which is funny because I associate that game with a trip I made to the new comp years before, when the one time I saw Lionel Messi score a goal. So yeah, that's how I associate that. So it's funny to watch the highlights back and hear that song and realize, oh right, that's a song a lot of people will absolutely detest, but I have a fondness for it because of these attachments, you know. So to think back, I do remember the Lennon McCoy's incident. I was the guy that was kind of grabbing strangers and said, oh, look, something's happening, you know, miles away at the top of the North Stand, and, you know, quite enjoying it from that safe distance. But it was, you know, it certainly got the heart beating.
So, as I say, we leave, we've won, Rangers are out of the cup, we're ahead of them in the league at that point, as you've talked about, so everything's looking rosy for Celtic towards a double here, and... I'm conscious that Rangers got three players sent off. We didn't get a player sent off. Rangers then had because Elhadjouf, I think, was sent off after the game.
Yeah.
For his behaviour of trying to start a fight with anybody. The Lennon McCoy stuff was storming a teacup that lasts 90 seconds. There's then some jostling going up the tunnel. And then the next day, the politicians get involved. And the shame game stuff starts. So, I've forgotten. How did it all arise that suddenly politicians needed to get involved in this?
I'm not sure. It must, you know, like you suggest, it was a quiet news week or something. You know, why? Obviously, there's one villain in this tale, and it's not Celtic Football Club. And what I love is. And again, we, you know, memories can get tarnished by other things. But this is peak Peter Lawl. Peter Lawl comes out and, you know, says very proud and honest statements saying, you know, this isn't our problem. We didn't do anything wrong here. Lennon says that, Lawl says that, and we're all right. You know, it's not like Brown was, you know, diving into people and getting red cards. You know, we play them like a fiddle here. We do everything right. And it's them that sink to their base level, as you know, as we see whenever they get the opportunity, whether it's a trip to Manchester or a trip to George Square. Lawl's really good. And then the other thing is, when Lawl speaks, you forget that Martin Vane was in charge of them. What a comedy character. This little brown machine. Just popping up and, you know, doing the kind of, oh, well, if it wasn't them, well, it wasn't us. It's just like, whatever, mate. You know, just, you know, the clock's ticking. You know, we know in hindsight that, one, they are going to go down the toilet, and two, Bane is going to end up a comedy character in a Netflix comedy show about Sunderland. But it's just funny to see him, you know, just, you know, happier times, you know.
So I take it nothing was going on in the world at that time then, that the only thing that was worth politicians wringing their hands about, and in fact I'm reading in the run-up to the, this is on the BBC, in the run-up to the game, the Scottish Police Federation, the Police Officers Union, called for a ban on Old Firm games in Glasgow, saying they led to too much violence. So, I mean, obviously, Glasgow must have been horrific to be in at that particular time. So, what was going on?
Locally, I don't remember much. I was kind of living in this little unemployed bubble where I walked to the cinema every day and occasionally went to the Dole office and occasionally went to Celtic Park to do some coaching. There was certainly no trouble. I would have walked into the city centre and then out to the south side. Relatively safe enough in a bigger, I don't know, maybe the violence caused in Glasgow that night led to the earthquake that led to the tsunami which led to the Fukushima nuclear disaster just a week later. You know, the butterfly effect and all that.
the butterfly effect of a Celtic Rangers game. Fukushima nuclear disaster happens.
But that is a week later. The week before, you have Charlie Sheen getting fired from Two and a Half Men, a show I've never watched a second of, but I remember hearing about it in the news. So you had, I guess that was preempted by Charlie Sheen's much publicised, you know, public collapse of his personality and his career. But yeah, I don't know, you know, the Scottish politics at that point. You know, it's pre the referendum, isn't it? It's peak Cameron and Nick Clegg in Downing Street era. You know, what is really happening?
Yeah, so I'm reading First Minister Alex Salmond confirmed that there will be a top-level summit after what he described as an ill-tempered Scottish Cup replay at Celtic Park on Wednesday was described as shameful. Was it really shameful? It was just a football game where some players get sent off, and at the end of the game, the managers had a heated exchange. You know, there was 34 people. There was 34 arrests inside the stadium, and 16 of them were for a sectarian nature. And there was the last time Celtic and Rangers played each other, there were 229 people were arrested in the Strathclyde Force area for offences related to the Rangers and Celtic game on the 20th of February. But that's because they go in a bad mood whenever they lose a game.
Yeah, so is that after the 3-0 game?
Yeah, that was after the 3-0 game, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They lost a game, they're bad losers. They're bad winners as well, by the way. But anyway, so they lost the game. So, shame game. So, the consequence, the issue about, for me, about the issue of the whole concept of the shame game, because this is what eventually led to, this was the germination of the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act. This is where the nugget of it started to, we've got to do something about sectarian, to use the terminology, sectarian hate crime in Scotland, and so that's why we've got to do the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act. This is where it all kicks off, this concept of we've got to do something about Celtic and Rangers. But I'm not really sure.
And what comes of that? Is that just, you know, people getting arrested for belting out the revs in the street, or what are the consequences?
Well, exactly, and I would actually argue, I mean, I've always felt that what happened with the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act came in is that the level of the types of songs that they wanted banned went up. Because if you just leave things like this, gradually over time and education and people's changing, and gradually things disappear and dissipate and change over time. If you start cracking people over the head and say you can't do that, then that's when people rebel against that sort of the stick of the carrot and stick element of it. Strathclyde Police, the country's largest force, also warned it would crack down on drink-fueled violence linked to the fixture after trouble flared in the wake of the previous match. It's all very... everything about this is, we're expect. If you read back through the articles, because we had played three games in quick succession, which is repeated over time, you know, I can think back to season 8, was it 89-90 when we were, or was it 88-89 when we played each other three times, and the third time was St Patrick's Day and we beat them. Any time there are three quick succession Celtic Rangers games, the third one involves some people getting sent off because one team's just had it, and it involves a bit of issues off the... But is it any different to football throughout the world? You talked about having been to Barcelona and watched Messi score. You know, is that sort of level of passion any different to anywhere else? If Real Madrid and Barcelona, I mean, I know they don't have fans coming side by side, so it's not quite the same, but if they played each other three times in quick succession, would the third game not be ended up being a very heated exchange? I think sometimes we get our knickers in a twist in this country. Certain parts of the chattering classes get their knickers in a twist in this country about their perception of the image that Celtic and Rangers generates elsewhere, and they don't like it. That's a problem.
I mean, I wonder how big an impact it had, because, I mean, only a couple of weeks later again, we play in a League Cup final at Hampden. I don't know, maybe more than a couple of weeks, but, you know, not long afterwards, we go toe-to-toe again and lose a League Cup final, which was another disaster, because I'm utterly convinced at, you know, the night of this shame game, we are the best team in the country by an absolute mile. and how we contrived to lose the League Cup and the league is an absolute mystery to me. And I lived next to Hampden at the Rangers' end. So it was a horrible experience, you know, looking out the window, you know, all these would-be zombies, you know, marching down the street. But I don't remember. Maybe there was a bigger police presence that day. I don't remember any trouble, but I mean, I'm pretty good at avoiding trouble. I don't know where it's happening, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was just 3 weeks later that we played in the League Cup final. Fraser Foster was back in the team. As a Gary Wilson Mulgrew, Rongia started. Leuvens came on for him as a substitute. Brown, Ki Song Young came on for Brown. Joe Ledley played. Kyle, Commons, Samarasson, Hooper up front. Leuvens on the bench. Key on the bench. Paddy McCourt and Stokes were on the bench for that game. So I'm not quite sure why that ended up happening, but it was extra time. Jelovic scored an extra time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a season where at one point when we win that game, we are thinking that you know there's a strong possibility of a treble, and it ends up being just a Scottish Cup victory with a 3-0 against Motherwell in the final in Lennon's first season. So overall, do you think the Shame game should get its reputation as being a game of shame in Scottish football?
Oh, I'm going to say what Lowell said. You know, for one half of them, yes. If they have any self-analysis, I mean, there's things Celtic have done in the past. Let me try and scrape the barrel here to find something I've been ashamed by. I can't think of one. but I certainly can imagine, you know, those intelligent Rangers fans that we hear so much about, you know, looking at that game and going, oh, God, we get three guys sent off. You know, that's pretty bad, you know. I mean, if you had to scrape the barrel, you'd say that the Hugh Dallas coin in the Heat game, you know, we get a couple of guys sent off that day, we lose the title. I would argue it all goes down to a bad refereeing decision that, you know, created the storm that was caused there. This storm on Rangers' behalf is completely self-inflicted, but it's also the modus operandi of their manager. You know, this was Walter Smith's tactic against us. You know, bring it down to a barroom brawl and hope the referee will look the other way and they'll get away with it. On this occasion, we had the better players and we rose above it, kept our heads, and beat them on the park, which is, you know, what we did a couple of times in a row at that point. Because even the 2-2 game, you know, we're down to 10 men. And then Ki Sun Yong just says, all right, try and get the ball off me for 40 minutes. And they can't do it, you know? So, yeah, obviously it's not a game regarded as a classic. You know, the goal wasn't great. The stigma that comes with all this negativity kind of ruins it a bit. But at the end of the day, it was a cup win in a cup, in a trophy that we ultimately take home. So it was important, you know, because if we didn't win, we wouldn't have won the cup, and it really would have been a dark season. But season ended with the beams of light that, you know, things were going to get better.
It's an interesting season, that one, as well, because the massive turnaround in players that we had that season, because it was the clear out of the Tony Mowbray era. And if you go on, I mean, not all of them are first team players. You know, there's Anton's Kourakins leaves the club. Tristan Ra, whoever he is. Milan Misun, who was always, he could be a player. He left the club. Rasmussen left the club. Jos Højveld left the club. Antoine Fortuny left the club. Aidan McGeady left the club. Kellyan Sheridan left the club. Dan O'Day left the club. Steve McManus left. Lee Naylor left. Zheng Ji left. Koki Mizuno left. And here's another one. Luca Santon Ochito. He left and went to Milan on a free transfer. So there's a huge... Arthur Boric left. There was a huge turnover, and the players in, Charlie McGrew came from Aberdeen, Chad O'Ree came, Joe Ledley, Daryl Murphy. We spent $800,000 on Daryl Murphy. Efren Juarez, who started really well. I remember a couple of, you know, thinking, oh, he's going to be a player, and then when we didn't qualify for Europe, seemed to chuck it. Gary Hooper signed, Benham Kyle, that you mentioned, Daniel Mastorovic, Emilio Ezeguiri, Fraser Foster, Anthony Stokes, Nick Feely. Olivier Capo, who briefly came and didn't really play. Freddie Lundberg.
Yeah, geez, oh.
Signed in the December. Tony Watt and Chris Commons was January signing. So
the Commons signing's an interesting one because, you know, you kind of forget about the first half of that season. You know, you kind of remember Commons being in the team and, you know, contributing quite a lot straight away. And the funniest one to watch back is the, you know, the 9-0 game against Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Because you literally, your starting wingers are Maloney and McGinn. And you look at it and you say, when did Maloney and McGinn play in the same team as Stokes and Hooper? When was that front four? It's just this mystery game. And when we score 9, you think maybe we should have stuck with it. That might have been quite good. But yeah, it's a very transitional period. And then, yeah, Commons does quite well initially. Not for the most part.
So that was the shame game. I always remember this. There's a brilliant picture for people who are a wee bit younger than us. There's a brilliant picture of when Alex Salmon gets Martin Bain and Peter Lawwell in. It is clear as day that Peter Lawwell is loathing every second of having to participate in this political sham charade. To illustrate to the chattering classes that the people in charge are doing something about this dirty down market football game, and the two clubs who bring shame in Scottish football. It's a brilliant shot of Peter Beat looking utterly pissed off. So anything else about the game? Your journey home, was it nice and safe?
I was quite good at avoiding trouble. One thing jumps out at me culturally is that I remember the Lidl on Victoria Road had a huge big billboard, and on it around this era would have been a huge picture of Sean Bean advertising Sky's hot new show Game of Thrones, which was on its way. And I remember walking past Sean Bean a million times and wondering, oh, I wonder what that's all about, you know. And, you know, obviously it was to be a cultural phenomenon, but for those first few months it was just a poster on a street in Glasgow.
Yeah, so you made it home to, where was it, Somerville Drive or Cumming Drive or something like that?
It was McLennan Street, just next to the Hollywood train station? Oh, what's the train station?
Mount Florida,
sorry. Yeah, lived right there.
Ah, right. Well, so that was the season. We won the cup, blew the league, didn't win the League Cup. Rangers got two trophies, and then the following season was quite remarkable. I think on the series, the game series that we're going to do, I think the 3-3 draw with Kilmarnock is one of the games that people have emailed in and talked about. A couple of other people have. One of the ones actually that you forget about was when we beat Tyrrell Innsbruck.
Yes.
Henrik Larsson scored an own goal.
Yes. He scored more. Henrik Larsson scored more goals against Celtic than Chris Boyd.
And so that's one of the other games that people have. I think there's the 5-4 Partizan Belgrade game. Somebody else wants to do the 10 men won the league game back from 1979. So it's quite a few games that we'll be doing. If you've got a game that you want to do, if you email in podcast@celticunderground.net, we will talk about the game. We'll talk about what you were up to in your life at the time. How did that comedy career go, Anthony?
I got dumped by a bird, had a crisis of confidence, chucked it and moved to Slovakia.
Okay. And with that, I will say, Anthony Murray, thanks very much.
Thank you.
So if you've got a game that you want to talk about, email into podcasts@celticunderground.net. We're going to try and do a few of these, talking about the game, where the person was in the life, etc. So we've got some guests lined up, mentioned on those there. But if you want to suggest a game, if you want to even be on the podcast, let us know. podcasts@celticunderground.net. Email in, and we'll get you on the podcast. Anyway, enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady. That was him, Anthony Murray, saying good night and God bless. Good night. Let's live it up. I got my money. Let's spin it up. Go out and smash it. Like, oh my God. Jump out that sofa. Let's kick it off.
Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up.
Let's live it up.
I got my money.
Hey.
Let's spin it up.
Let's spin it up.
Go out and smash it.
Smash it.
Like, oh my God.
Like, oh my God.
Jump out that sofa.
Come on.
Let's kick it off. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Mazel tov.
L'chaim.
Look at her dancing.
Move it, move it.
Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
Shut it down.
Let's burn the roof.
And then we'll do it again.
Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it. Let's live it up and do it, and do it, and do it, and do it, and do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, do it, do it, do it. Here we come, here we go, we gotta rock,
rock, rock, rock.
Easy come, easy go, now we on top,
top, top, top, top.
Feel the shot, body rock, rockin', don't stop. Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna